WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
Welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast, season 4, episode 2. We have finally got Tom back after skiving the first episode.
And morning. Morning to you.
Yep, he's back. Lucky for the listeners. And the actual surprise is we've got Dan Hayward in here from Head Operations at Candy Kittens. How are you doing, Dan?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Yourselves?
Yeah, good. We are absolutely blessed to be in this beautiful space. We were chatting about it a bit before.
Yeah.
It's absolutely lovely. We're in the library.
We are. We're in the library of the Sweet Factory, which is Candy Kittens' new home as of last year.
Nice. You've been trained for podcasts. That's beautiful. So yeah, I wanted to do this little thing we talked about earlier. Three words to describe Candy Kittens for the listeners.
So three words would be plant-powered and delicious.
I like how you didn't put plant-powered in one word as well. You could have done that. Would have let
thought
that go.
It was cheating, you know.
A little hyphen in there. Does that count as one word?
I don't know. What would ChatGPT say?
He would have put a hyphen, okay. Definitely in there.
Okay, noted.
That's next how time. You know people are using ChatGPT, that big long hyphen that no one naturally uses.
Okay.
I've definitely never used ChatGPT for any work.
Yeah, I definitely didn't notice it in the question sheet either.
Yeah. I didn't do a single one of these questions. Copy and pasted your URL into that. Yeah. Came up with effing. Yeah. Beautiful.
Amazing.
So it's a surprise to me as it is for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, huge thanks to you kind of letting us into central London, letting us get out of our bedroom offices for a change and into this beautiful space. Obviously, you're the head of ops. We're going to be talking everything operations. Got a bit of an operations kind of theme going up, rolling on, but I feel like our listeners are really going to be interested in that, especially an exciting brand like Candy Kittens. So yeah, we're going to jump into this. And Tom's going to kick us off today.
Makes a change. So kicking off then, Candy Kittens has quite a unique founder story.
Yep.
Could you tell us about how and why the brand was born?
Yeah, so it's been quite widely spoken about, I suppose, over the past few years. But yeah, so for those that don't know, our company was founded back in 2012 by Jamie Lang and Ed Williams. So Ed is now our CEO, and Jamie, who you'll know from radio, TV, it kind of is still a big part of the brand and everything that we do, and really is focused on helping build the brand. So Jamie had this idea when he was a kid. He always used to speak about it with his brother about how he wanted to live in Jamie's sweet world, you know, a world made up of sweets where you could, you know, grab the wall, eat it, that sort of thing. And when he was, you know, after uni, wanted to kind of actually take that as a concept and create a sweet company that sells sweets in the form of a physical kind of shop. Ed and Jamie were introduced by a mutual friend. Ed, coming from a design background at Loughborough Uni, kind of said, well, actually, a shop is a really difficult place to be. Why don't you actually just build a brand instead and build sweets that are better than anything else in the market, that appeal to an adult audience versus a very blended audience that competitor sets appeal to at the moment. And that was really where Candy Kittens was born. It was born out of actually going, where is the space for a really innovative, exciting brand to sit that appeals to consumers in a different way? And that's really where what we're doing here at Candy Kittens and how that then started. And I suppose what was then interesting was we didn't actually have any sweets for the first 2 years. So Candy Kittens started off, there was no sweets, there was a concept, but everything was brand building. So using and utilizing Jamie's position or exposure that he had on TV at that time was all about how does the business bring in consumers. So they set up a pop-up shop on King's Road in Chelsea, sold just merch, no sweets.
Which is strange for a sweet brand.
Yeah. Yeah, sweet brand with no sweets. And then kind of built that out and you know, raised then the funds to be able to go, right, now we're making our first sweets. We've got the money now. Let's go and tackle the world. So it started with the listing at Harvey Nichols, which I think it was Ed, Jamie, and maybe one or two other people at the time, like hand packing sweets in an office in in Chelsea or Fulham, I can't remember which one it was, to then getting Selfridges, to then Waitrose, and kind of it building from there. So it's been a really, you know, a lot of people assume that the story of Candy Kittens is got these great co-founders. It just happened overnight, but it really was this story and this journey that's taken a lot of hard work from everyone involved at those early stages in the business.
And what do you remember? What were the first sweets that were released by Candy Kittens?
Oh,
now you're a question here.
Yeah, test wasn't on the sheet. there were a few. So there was apple and elderflower. There was, I think, the sour watermelon and Eton Mess were two of the very early flavors that we also had. Okay. There was a lemon sherbet one, I want to say, as well. Okay. So it was very much leaning on like the old school desserty flavors and kind of bringing those to life. There was a grape, I want to say, there was a grape flavor as well, which was quite good, but.
I've actually been sent in by James just to test you.
Yeah.
This is actually just an employee.
Yeah, yeah, check. Just end of year review. Yeah.
We're doing a bit different this time.
He's tried that a few times, actually.
Yeah. I'll try to get rid of you.
I'd like to take a second to thank our Season 4 sponsor, Cubix Media. Cubix are a Shopify agency and Shopify Plus partner that specializes in crafting beautiful and reliable web stores. If you're a brand looking for Shopify services, replatforming, development, or e-com strategy, then head over to Cubix Media. Let's get back into the podcast.
Yeah,
still there. And that does segue beautifully onto the next thing I was going to say is that when did you join Candy Kittens? Because you have been here a while now. And how did it come about?
Yeah, so I'm actually a chemical engineer by trade. So very different world to being in the world of sweets. But yeah, kind of. There's a lot of people who do engineering end up within operations because there's quite a few synergies around like problem solving and whatnot. So I started my career at Danone, so big multinational corporation. Was there for over 5 years, and during COVID, there were a few things happening within the workplace at that time where the growth just wasn't there that I was looking for across the breadth of operations. When you're in a company as big as that, what you end up doing is being an expert in one area of the industry. And operations is quite a broad area. So I was really looking for something that was going to give me that breadth, but also was an exciting...
Sorry, bad timing.
You promised me you were
just
not going to cough.
From a cold. I'm so sorry.
You promised me you weren't going to do that today.
So I was looking for an opportunity to really broaden my horizons and move on. Luckily, I actually knew our now marketing director, who was ex-Dalon, and reached out to her, and there was an opportunity to work together again. So yeah, took the plunge and went from a company of 100,000 people to a company of 15, 16, and not looked back since. So yes, it's been a great kind of learning curve, especially, you know, coming from a big business where all the processes are set out, everything's in place, to then coming to a challenger brand where process is frowned upon, let's say, in terms of it's seen to be this thing that creates a lot of red tape, but actually not having a lot in place at all has been really interesting. Contagious now.
See?
You're
going to sneeze soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really interesting. It's been great to learn about how everything works in a more agile and scale up way. And it's been a really enjoyable journey.
I guess you can make a much bigger impact at a company like this, right? You can make your mark and.
Yeah, you can take learnings and implement change quicker. There's less bureaucracy to go through. And there's also a lot more autonomy to go out there and do your own thing as well. If I put a business case forward with the senior leadership team, we'll look at it and go weigh it up on its pros and cons and make a decision that day. You know, we're not having to wait for months to make a decision on things, which I think is really empowering to us as a team as well.
Yeah, cool. And then you mentioned you've been here for about 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And what changes have you kind of seen, operational changes have you seen over those 4 years? I think going back to that, you know, day one, you walked in, fresh face.
Yep. Less grey hair.
Less grey hair.
Yeah.
Just ripped dude came in. Yep. And now to where we are.
Yeah. Waistline 4 inches larger. Yeah. It's been a real journey. I'm quite privileged to have been in the company for, you know, a third of its existence. And so, you know, that journey is ever changing. When I joined, we were probably in half the retailers. Now we're in basically every single grocery. Yeah. So a lot of what we've been doing has been preparing our supply chain for growth and to make sure that we're ready for that. So we've been really fortunate to work with some amazing partners who are able to, or have been able to help to get us to that, to the place that we are today. You know, really a lot of the change has been about acting more mature as a business. So how do we plan our productions more efficiently, which then means that we, you know, cut out some of the fat that we might have around the business, or how do we forecast better, or how do we interact with our suppliers in a more mature way? And what's really important to us at Candy Kittens is we are a small business that acts like a big business. Mm. We're not a big business that acts like a small business. So what we mean by that is we are still going to be looking at getting at where we can get marginal wins versus our competitors. So how can we maintain agility to reacting to a retailer need or an activity that our web team might decide to launch last minute? And how do we work with our partners to be ready for that? So it's about, for me, how do we do 80% of operations in a simplified process-driven way to allow the 20% to be really agile, really fluid, really reactive, rather than probably when we joined, it being the other way around, we're probably 80% reactive and 20% proactive. Mm. And so for me, that's been a really important mentality change, certainly operationally for us.
And everyone's got on board with it.
Yeah. Or they're not here.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's the beauty of being at Candy Kittens is everyone really believes in the brand. So I think, like, we don't have anyone in the business that doesn't believe in what we're doing and believe that we can make a difference with our brand. And I think that's really important. Our brand is everything to us as a business. So that has to start from the people that work there. And if we don't have that, how are we meant to then make change and make an impact elsewhere? So that's really important to us.
Yeah.
So you guys were the first sweet company in the UK to become B Corp back in 2022. Congrats, even though it's been a while now. From an operations standpoint, what does that mean?
So it means a couple of things. Firstly, kind of B Corp as the certification falls under me and my team's remit to maintain. So we're actually going through the process to recertify as a B Corp over the next couple of months. So as part of B Corp, you have to recertify every 3 years. And it's quite a grueling process to make sure that all the companies that hold that certification are upholding the rules that they have in place. So it's all about ethical practices, your governance, your sustainability missions, your community work that you do, all kind of tied up into one big certification. So it's really important to us, especially as a brand that's looking to do good, which a lot of people say for a sweets brand, how can you, you know, where does that land? But I think for us, it's really about, you know, a couple of years ago, we launched our No Nasties All Good kind of brand message, which you can see on the back of our packs.
Yeah.
The audience won't be able to see that.
There you go, right here.
Right in the front. And for us, really, it's about highlighting the fact that a lot of our competitors put nasty ingredients in sweets, whether that's animal gelatin, whether it's artificial flavors, colorants, etc. So for us, B Corp fits really nicely with that message that we want as a brand. So it's important for us at a business level, and then operationally it feeds in really nicely, because what it allows us to do is to have the permission to go after opportunities. So we did a huge project in 2023 where we looked at the palletization of our product. So how many bags of sweets can we get on a pallet of to ship out to customers? And we pushed all of our suppliers quite hard and managed to improve that by 42%, which is huge. We reduced the amount of plastic in our pouches by 25% at the same time, which meant something like a 3% carbon emission saving. And so it was all sustainability driven that we looked to implement that. And without the direction that we're going in the business, and I suppose then having B Corp, for us, B Corp is a reflection of the work that we're doing, not a certification that we're looking to achieve, and therefore we're doing things to achieve this that badge of honor. That's kind of a few of the things that we've been working on, and I suppose operationally how we then fit that in. So everything that we do is with sustainability and the environment in mind. We don't launch any product now if you can't recycle the packaging in some degree or other. So we wouldn't launch something if it then meant that customers just have to chuck it in the bin. I think that's really important to us as a guiding principle.
And why do you suspect that, obviously you guys were the first sweet brand to become B Corp, why do you think no other sweet brand had become B Corp before? Is it because of the nature of it being full of sugar and bad for you, or what's...
I think for a lot of companies, it's probably just not priority.
Yeah.
But for us, we thought that it was important enough. So we would challenge any brand to go after the certification. We'd also challenge any brand to remove the bad stuff that is in products, because, you know, in the age of over-processed foods and whatnot, you want to be living a balanced lifestyle, and anything that we can do as a business to influence other businesses is something that we'd love to do.
Yeah, it's almost the perfect timing for this product to kind of exist with the kind of conscious consumers and all that kind of stuff. You kind of touched on it earlier with the amount of places where Candy Kittens is now sold in. Obviously, that's grown loads, obviously completely all thanks to you over the last 4 years. Costa Coffee, Amazon, obviously you sell in your online store in all the major supermarkets. There must have been some operational challenges that came along with that expanding into, you know, multiple kind of channels. Could you talk us through a bit of that?
Yeah, probably the biggest challenge is almost where to start when you've got that many customers. I think at one point we had over 140 customers that we were delivering into, with a very small minimum order quantity, which meant that we were processing more smaller value orders than we'd have liked to. We're a small team. At that time, when we were looking at this, we were probably two people in operations. Mm-hmm. So juggling the priorities of customers was tricky. Mm-hmm. And what we actually did is we said, look, let's rip up the rule book. If we were going to start from today and trade with our customers again, what would we do? So we put in some new rules around minimum order quantities, around making sure that if customers were ordering a pallet less one case, how do we, you know, find some efficiencies within our process? So we created a couple of, you know, quick Excel tools that allowed us to just drop stuff in and go, okay, where does that fit in versus our expectations? And that really helped us, because what we ended up doing is cutting a little bit of our tail of our customers who were probably over-indexing in terms of the amount of time that we were needing to fulfill their orders, and then allowing us to really focus on key accounts within those categories. So for us, it was about saying, okay, how do you make sure that your primary travel customer is getting the attention that they need, or your primary out-of-home customer, or whatever that might be? And I think that's really important for us, and was just a bit of a mindset change in terms of us going, actually, we can do less to achieve more. Mm. So it's all about just trying to play smarter rather than harder.
Oh, okay. Any sort of operational headaches, challenges as well, sort of, that you've experienced these last sort of 4 years?
Ooh, always. There's always challenges. If if there weren't headaches and challenges, then there'd be no one working in ops, is what I'd say.
So that's why you create problems. Do you create a little bread trail of problems? This will be an issue in 2 months.
Yeah, I'll plead the fifth on that one, just in case anyone's watching. I think probably the biggest challenge for us as a business is, I've mentioned earlier about we want to be agile and we want to be we want to be able to react when customers come in. We want a grocery customer to come to us and say, so-and-so has failed on their commitment to us. Can you support us with some additional stock for an activity? And we want to be able to say yes to everything to a degree. But the challenge as a scaling brand is, how do you find the balance between sitting on that stock and that stock actually becoming problematic if you're sitting on it? So for us, a lot of the challenges operationally that we're doing is finding the sweet spot, so to speak, of how much stock you sit on each SKU to be able to react to those opportunities without investing the business's cash when cash is so important to companies like ourselves. We're not a bankroll to the hilt that allows us to just sit on 6 months worth of stock and then be able to say yes to every opportunity. So that's probably the biggest challenge that will continue to evolve over the next few months and years as well.
Is there a level of seasonality with you guys, or all year round?
Tend to find that we're all year round, actually. Okay. We do get kind of a Christmas seasonality. We launch our advent calendars, which I hear you're a big fan of, Tom.
Big fan, 2 years running.
thanks for giving us the business. Your free one will be in the post next year. but we do our advent calendar. We do a couple of seasonal items, but really for us, everything at Candy Kittens is about driving our core range. It's about making our sweets available for everyone to be able to purchase, whether that's in your local corner shop or in your big supermarket or online.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. So there you go. Free little Candy Kittens calendar next year. How do you feel about that?
I'm ecstatic. Bring on fast forward this year.
When we were walking here, you said, I am not leaving here without a free advent calendar for next year.
I've already got a pile of sweets in the corner I'm walking away with.
We do have quite a few food and beverage kind of brands, listeners into the podcast. I think it'll be interesting for you to maybe give a few tips if they're looking to diversify into new sales channels, or even just any general operational tips that you would give to these people.
Yeah, I've mentioned it earlier, but I would say keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. So if you're looking at going into coffee chains as an example, pick one client that you want to be your hero within that space and execute it well. And most of the time what you'll then find is that the rest of the category will go, I'm a bit jealous of that. That was actually quite good, wasn't it? And that fuels the conversations further. I think if you try to launch in 15 retailers in 1 week, there's very few companies that will have the resource to make that a success, because you'll naturally get stretched and distracted by that. One of the big things for us is you know, we're UK focused. We're not looking at actively moving into other markets at the moment. And that's because the fact that we still believe the UK has got this huge potential for Candy Kittens. We don't want to get distracted by that. We know that we can do loads more. So why would we take our energy away from that when we're on a good path as it is?
Okay, beautiful little tip there for people listening. We're from a tech background. So we always like to sneak in a little question of, you know, from a tech side, operations tech, any solutions that have really helped you guys? Obviously off camera, we've talked about a few a little bit, but I think it'll be really interesting to hear.
Yeah, so We do still rely a little bit on kind of like your Excels and your Google Sheets. I think a lot of what we do, certainly like our supply planner as an example, is a custom built within Excel. And I think that there's value in those tools at the right time in businesses. And for specific actions that are needed. We also have a great ERP provider, so we use Unleashed, who is our inventory management, so all of our orders flow through there, which is great. And we've got a really smooth integration between our kind of Shopify and our back end of our D2C provider as well. So those work really well. Probably the biggest change that we've had in the last 12 months is how do we integrate AI into our operating model a bit better? Mm. And we're actually working with a really interesting company called OpenInfo, who have created, and we're one of their kind of starting partners, created an AI tool that allows us to process orders more quickly. Mm. So what it will do is you can input a customer's PDF file into the tool, and it will automatically create that on our ERP system rather than that being something that has to be manually uploaded. Mm. And that's a bit of a game changer for us, because it's allowing us to free up part of the team's time where they would just be doing kind of more of a manual process into actually we can use that time to drive more efficiencies or different change or supporting customers with problems. So that's been something that we're still on the journey of kind of building that tool with them. But yeah, really excited to see where that lands.
Yeah, that's something I haven't actually heard of. So that is quite interesting. When do you reckon it's going to be ready to kind of rock that?
So we've been using it for 6 months in the beta testing. You'd have to ask them when they're going to be ready to launch it elsewhere.
But so far, you're pretty happy.
Yeah, no, it's been a huge success, and actually it's been something that our placement students have been helping build. So it's been good to let some people who know a bit more about tech drive that forward.
Nice.
So we're at the start, obviously, of a new year.
Yep.
Is there any exciting things coming this year at Candy Kittens?
Always exciting things happening at Candy Kittens. I can probably give you a couple of sneak peeks of things that are to happen, certainly within operations. So we're actually moving one of our warehouses early this year. So that's a big project that we're working on in order to try and get some small gains in terms of sustainability and driving some efficiencies within our business. So that's kind of happening over the next few weeks. And we may have a party-inspired new product that might be launching on shelf in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So watch the space.
Pies. I have to bloody edit this podcast before that comes out. Otherwise, it's not going to be a sneak peek anymore. lovely. Usually, guests are like, keep the cards pretty close to the chest, but you just gave us a two little bits of gold there.
There you go.
I like that. Yep. Okay, fair enough. You can come back on again. final question, and the old classic, which people hate and dread. But what's your favourite brand at the minute?
My favourite brand at the minute, it's probably actually been one of my favourite brands for the last couple of years, is Pip and Nut. They are an amazing kind of nut butter brand who are really innovative. If you ever have the chance to go to their office, it's really cool. It's called The Nest. And yeah, just really great. They've got a great team there. I know a few of them. I just think what they're doing is really cool. Like peanut butter as a category was quite dated a few years ago. They've really brought some energy into it. Their marketing's really cool. And they're also going out into different categories as well, which I think as a scale-up company is I think when you diversify into different categories is a brave call, because it can take away your energy from your core offering. But I also think that they've done it in a way that feels really authentic.
Nice. Future podcast guests, do you reckon?
Potentially.
Yeah, a few people down. I've actually reached out to their founder before, but they ignored me. So we'll go by a different route.
Yeah.
And get the mole on the inside.
There you go.
Work away. Because I actually love
the squirrel.
Squirrel in this case. Yeah. We'll send that squirrel in. Because I absolutely love their product. Yeah. Cool. That's it. I mean, we spent more time setting up this podcast than we actually did recording it, but that's how it always is. But yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast, Dan. I hope it wasn't too stressful. No, we didn't catch you out of any rogue questions.
All good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Cheers, and Dan. If people want to find out more about Candy Kittens,
yeah,
what can they do?
Go to candykittens.co.uk or find us on socials. If you like some behind the scenes, then we've got a very active TikTok where you might see yours truly on a few with Jamie at some point in the future.
I've heard about this. Yeah. Ambush.
Yeah.
Ambush content, as always. We call it. Okay, wrapping things up, do me a little awkward outro. This has been presented by Not E-commerce, your integration specialist for e-commerce brands. Thanks for listening. And that's a wrap.
Cool. Thank you very much.